To all who come to our happy place, welcome to the No Guilt Disney podcast, where we have no guilt about our love for all things Disney.
We're three Disney fangirls who probably know more about the Disney parks than most grown women should, and we're perfectly okay with that. But it's so weird to hear me say that, though.
It is so weird to hear you say that. I was like, we're totally okay with that. However, you might notice that we're actually only two fangirls and a guy. Da-da-da-da. We have a guest today on this episode. Jane is not with us, as you probably figured that out if you have been listening to us for the last year and a half. So let's just go ahead and introduce ourselves and get started here.
Yep. So hello, everyone. My name is Teresa, and you can find me on Twitter at Gertie the Dino.
I'm Patty Holiday from NoGuiltDisney.com and No Guilt Travel, a travel agency that specializes in Disney and Universal vacations. You can find me on all socials at No Guilt Life. And we have one other guest here. This is a friend of Teresa's who has graciously decided to join us to talk about our exciting topic today. James, welcome Hi. To the No Guilt Disney podcast.
Thank you guys so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about yourself or a little bit about your Disney history or whatever you feel like sharing.
Yeah. So I grew up in Central Florida and I've since moved away. So anytime that I can get back down there and visit the parks is a really good day for me. I grew up, you know, taking field trips to Disney at least two or three times a year. So I have an immense love for all things Disney. And currently I compete in a online movie trivia league called the Movie Trivia Schmodown. So being able to study Disney movies as, you know, some sort of a job, if you consider it, that is just something that I love doing.
I consider anything that you can, turn into a job, quote unquote. I'm doing air quotes over
right,
here.
Right, same.
Absolutely, I support that. So yeah, it's a job. It's a job.
Yeah, totally. So be able to talk Disney and movies in one sitting is a good day for me.
Excellent.
And that's exactly why we asked James to join us today, because if you have not heard, there is a movie coming up pretty soon. It is the Jungle Cruise movie, which I'm personally very excited to see. But we thought it'd be really fun to talk today about movies and series that were inspired by Disney attractions. So essentially, the attraction came first, and then Disney then decided, hey, let's make some extra content out of this.
Yeah, and it's wild because Teresa threw this list at me, and at first I was like, the only movie I could personally come up with off the top of my head was The Haunted Mansion and then Jungle Cruise, which is coming out. And she's like, duh, Patty, Pirates of the Caribbean. And she had this whole other list. So then the fun part was I had seen probably half this list, and so I had to go back and watch these movies as a first timer. And this is a true and total hot take of watching these movies, because I legit watched them at 3 o'clock this morning when I could not sleep. So
for some of them, I think that's the best way to watch these movies.
Maybe so. I don't know. But it was a wild ride. And I was going to text you this early this morning. And then I was like, no, I don't want to wake her up. I'll just tweet her.
You tweeted me.
She'll go and look on Twitter at some point and she'll see this. Because I have some thoughts about these movies, Teresa, that you introduced me to that I would have absolutely never, ever, ever watched.
I know how you feel about the attraction for one of them. So I'm very excited to hear the subsequent movie thoughts.
Yes. So it was quite the adventure and it was exciting. And here's something that I just want to throw out there for anybody who's like, I'm not into those movies. I wasn't either. A lot of these are what, like late 90s, early 2000s time frame. And I think at that frame in my personal life, I was getting ready to have babies or having babies at that time. So I was definitely like into Thomas the Tank Engine right then. I wasn't watching a lot of Disney Channel. Okay. And a lot of these things were made for TV movies, or maybe they came out in movie theaters, but I was definitely not going to them. I was not that target audience. So I missed a lot of it, which has also been really fun because Teresa's a little bit different in her, I don't want to say we're that far apart in age, but we're far enough apart in age that there is a generational difference here with some of these things that you knew about and I didn't. So I found this a really fun topic, and I was so tickled because my mind was completely blown with some of the people that are in these movies.
Right. And I feel like so many of the movies, you may have heard that they exist. And I believe they were all theatrical releases, except for one was a Wonderful World of Disney, Magical World of Disney TV release. But for the most part, yeah, like the cast in them, a lot of them do have very, very recognizable cast, or at least very recognizable voices in the cast. And I feel like for the most part, outside of Pirates of the Caribbean, they kind of get shunned a little bit and people just don't talk about them or don't consider them. And I am hoping that going through this, there are some I feel like deservedly kind of do have that, have that honor. But I am hoping that we will at least present a reason why you might want to watch these if it's not something you've considered before.
Definitely, definitely. And I'm going to name drop a few of these people if people are like, really, like who? Like who was in this 2000 version of Country Bears? Yeah, Willie Nelson, Elton John, Christopher Walken. I mean, I was almost on the floor when I saw him on the screen. I was like, what am I watching, Teresa? But there were so many big names. And like she said, there's a lot of them that are the voices. But, you know, we have Don Cheadle, Tim Robbins, Alfre Woodard, Juliana Margulies, obviously Eddie Murphy. You probably recognize him. Johnny Depp, Kirsten Dunst, Steve Guttenberg, Gary Sinise. I mean, it went on and on. And it was exciting for me because now we're also going to get to add Dwayne Johnson and Emily Blunt. This is probably the biggest, most focused, you know, event that they're putting out since Pirates of the Caribbean. So it's very exciting to see what they do with this story. I'm going to have a screener for it and I'm going to see it before this episode comes out, but I think it's actually in the theaters before this episode comes out. So everyone should probably have seen it by then. But I don't have any spoilers to give anybody or to worry about at this point, but I'm with you, Teresa. Like this is one of my, I'm excited about this. James, are you down with this whole idea of taking one of the most beloved long-term attractions and turning it into a movie, or are you a little hesitant about things?
No, I think Jungle Cruise is probably one of the perfect attractions to turn into a movie, especially with the cast that they have. I mean, you already mentioned The Rock and Emily Blunt, but just the two of them are able to do comedy so well as action that you get the best of both worlds of that attraction. I'm hoping we get so many puns.
Yes,
it's a must. If they don't mention the backside of water, I will get up and walk out of the theater.
I think I've seen that in a teaser. I think that's there. So this is when I do expect there to be a few lines that are very familiar. And I know one of the things that I'm really looking forward to about it is, so I love the African Queen. I love these old movies, you know, Humphrey Bogart and Katharine Hepburn, and just the visuals, like it's giving me those feelings. So if this is in addition to being like a, you know, take on a Disney attraction, if it's also a modern twist on that, and by modern I mean just in terms of like coming out now, not set modern times, but I'm excited to see what they do with that, because like it's definitely, and I think if you've watched it, even down to some of the costume choices, like, you get that vibe from it. So I'm really looking forward to this.
I also get a slightly ridiculousness vibe out of this, which as a lover of the Fast and Furious franchise, I know everyone's like groaning, but I love it for the ridiculous aspect. I love that it's just something I can turn on and lose myself in and know that all of it is total ridiculous and nothing is real in this movie. And I feel like there's a couple of scenes that we've seen with Jungle Cruise, like the boat jumping and whatever. I'm getting a little Fast and Furious feel from that too. So I'm like, you know what? I am down with this movie. But honestly, you had me as soon as you said Dwayne Johnson was going to be in a Disney. I was like, Dwayne plus Disney, I'm there. Love it. Love him. And it was a lot of fun. James, were you at D23 Expo also then when the two of them were on stage and he's like, well, I'm The Rock. and he's like, I was Maui. She's like, yeah, I'm Mary Poppins.
Emily Blunt. Yeah, it was great. So good. And I loved that they did the dueling trailers.
Yes.
To show their different sides coming up on top. And I'm just the same as Teresa. I got 100% instant African Queen vibes from it. But no, their chemistry together is fantastic, and I'm just so excited for this movie. I think it's going to be great.
All right. Well, Jungle Cruise, we're on board, a 3 for 3 right here. And this is what kind of propelled us to have the rest of this conversation. What else do we want to go ahead and talk about the specials or the show that's coming out on Disney Plus, Teresa?
Sure. So I think we're in like prime, you know, Disney Parks content right now. It's great. So I think it'll be right around when this episode's released or right beforehand. There is a new series coming to Disney Plus called Behind the Attraction. And from what I've seen, it's going to be about 40 minutes for each episode, but each one's going to have a focus on different attractions. I know Jungle Cruise is one. They are having one on like the Disney castles and one kind of around Disney transportation. So it's not all strictly a single attraction that they're looking at, but they're kind of going into some of the things that make the Disney parks special. And I like it because I know when I was watching the Imagineering story, I just wanted like more details on all the things that they were discussing. So I'm hoping that this is sort of a deeper dive into some of those attractions that they mentioned, but we couldn't get into quite as much just with the limited time.
This really looks like it's a lot of fun. And by the time you guys are hearing this, it will be out on Disney Plus. July 21st is when it drops, which is Wednesdays, which as you guys all probably know by now, instead of Friday drops, we're now switching to Wednesday drops, thanks to Loki and how great that was for Disney, which, you know, if they're listening, I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm not a fan of the Wednesday drops. I do like things early, but I'd like it Wednesday at midnight Eastern time.
Thank you.
Like,
yes.
Right?
Midnight Eastern. Like, I don't care. I don't care what day it is. Yo, midnight Eastern.
Yes. Midnight Eastern, whatever you want to do. But somebody on Twitter, and I wish I had paid enough attention, but somebody on Twitter equated it to how they feel like they're kind of missing an opportunity. Remember Game of Thrones, right? We all planned our Sunday nights. James, was this you? Am I following you on Twitter? And I didn't realize it. But we all planned our Sunday nights to sit as a family or as a couple or whatever your deal was. We sat as a couple and nobody disturb us. We're watching Game of Thrones together. 7, 8 o'clock, whatever it was, 9 o'clock at, you know, Eastern time on Sunday nights.
And I was about to say, I'm like, when you're mentioning as a family, I was like, I'm surprised that's a family show for you, Patty.
No. There are morals all throughout Game of Thrones. You just have to look for them.
There are. I have to agree with you there. However, the funny part is, the only kid that was even interested in it is the youngest. And I was like,
of course.
A little not quite yet. But so it was Rob and I, but that was our thing. And we would absolutely, it was an event, and it was in our busy, crazy lives with four kids at home and two jobs. That's what we made time to make this happen. With Loki, it's been all over the place. And we just haven't had that same, you know, impetus to like sit and watch it. So Disney, like I said, I know you listen to us because you love us. If there's a financial reason that you can make it happen, like on Sunday nights or something, we'd be down for that. I think that would just be a lot of fun to have those big drops where you can watch some of these things together or make a thing out of watching it instead of asking some of us to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
We don't get that appointment television anymore, and streaming is part of the problem, but
yep.
If you're going to stream something weekly, which I much prefer than just having the entire season drop where, you know, you're getting spoiled for the finale within 30 minutes if you log on Twitter. If you're going to do a weekly drop where most people can watch it at one time and discuss it and talk about it. It just makes so much more sense. And I don't understand why they wouldn't go with that sort of an idea. Doesn't make sense.
I agree. And like I said, my only guess is that there's something with the numbers or financial or something, you know, everything is, numbers related. So there must be some reason, and I wish I knew what it was. But I agree with you 1,000% that the conversation is better and longer and goes, you know, it's just, come on, man. Like, let's just make this happen. But anywho, so that's coming out Wednesday night. We're excited about it. We don't have a lot of information about it. We just know that it's also going to be about these attractions. And Dwayne Johnson is one of the producers. So that's kind of fun, too. All right. Teresa, you ready to dig into this list?
Yes. And I figured we'll cover the one everybody knows first, because I don't think we need to talk about it too much. So, like, let's get it out of the way at the beginning. I think the most well-known attraction movie is Pirates of the Caribbean. It came out in 2003. It was obviously, you know, it's a very, very successful movie. And I think the most successful of all of these attraction movies. And I think they did such a great job, even though knowing how I feel about putting characters into attractions that don't belong there, I think they did a really good job with kind of tying the movie back into the attraction with this one, particularly the music. Like, I think the music, it's so identifiable now as being like the Pirates of the Caribbean music. I love that you hear that in the parks. I'm sorry, that's like one of my favorite, I guess, movie scores of the past, you know, 20 years. I love it. So I'm like, I'm okay generally with the updates they've made to the attraction after this movie.
Wow.
This is a lot for me to say.
That is a lot for you to say. What a confession.
So, but like I said, I don't know. Do either of you have anything in particular about the movie, I guess, in terms of things from the attraction that you were happy to see in the movie, or things from the movie that you are glad have now kind of been worked into the theme parks?
Personally, I liked the little Easter eggs from the attraction that they stick into the movie. Seeing the dog with the keys is obviously, you know, one of the most iconic ones of the ride. And everything, just the way it ties together, little bits and pieces here and there, when they're on Tortuga and seeing the different scenes from when they're sacking the city in the attraction. I'm not a big fan of Jack Sparrow being inserted into the ride afterwards. I know it's so weird for me to be the one saying that, but it works better than a lot of the other ones that they've done it with. It makes sense. I get it. I know why they did it. It doesn't make me have to like it, but I've accepted it over the years. So Jack Sparrow, he's there. I've come to grips with it. It doesn't make me mad when I ride Pirates anymore, but that's still one of my favorite, both rides and one of my favorite Disney attraction movies. I'm not a big fan of the sequels. I know everybody loves them, but Black Pearl just knocked me, you know, right out of my socks when I saw that. And I can rewatch that movie a ton of times, but I never go back and revisit the sequels as much.
I co-sign with you on that, on everything you just said. Except I don't think I care one way or the other about Jack Sparrow being in it. But for me, it's Jack Sparrow because it's Johnny Depp. Like,
yeah,
I can't separate the actor from what he did with that character at this point. And so I think that is what made the success of this whole thing that they tried to do, was it was the right actor for the right role, for the right character. Like, everything just came together, and it was, you know, it's brilliant. And I don't know if either one of you were at D20. I think, Teresa, you were there. James, or I don't know if you were there. Were you at D23 Expo? Keep pulling back to it. When he came out on stage, this was not last one, but the year before,
Not at that one.
I was at that expo, but I was not at that panel.
Okay. All right. So he came out on, Jack Sparrow himself, like, walked out on stage, and he was just so good, and he was eating grapes, and he was throwing grapes in the audience. And I was just, it was really amazing, just really brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. So I think that's why I love this movie so much, is that character was just one of a kind. We're never going to duplicate. We're never going to, you know, and I agree that the other ones, the rest of them, like, my family is a huge Pirates of Caribbean. Like, that's one of my husband and my daughters will sit and watch all of the movies over and over again. I will watch the first one and then I bounce out because it just doesn't hold the same thing for me. But yeah, I agree with you on that. All right, so that was Pirates. After that, we move on to Haunted Mansion,
which also came out the same. These both came out in 2003.
Like, totally different reactions, though. Yes.
Yeah, completely. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to say the unpopular opinion. I like the movie. Like, I don't hate on it. It's not perfect. It's not my favorite. But it's one of those that, yeah, I can turn on and I can watch it. I've watched this one. I've watched The Haunted Mansion probably, I don't know, like 4 or 5 times total. So again, not something I watch all the time, but it's not a one and done for me. But I think I'm in the minority. I think most people, either because the attraction is so iconic to them, they didn't like the way things were portrayed. What is it about this movie that didn't hit right? Was Eddie Murphy not the right character? Did they not allow him to be Eddie Murphy enough, you know, to, because Eddie Murphy was big at this time. You know, he was a huge star. So what was it? What about this movie that you guys didn't like? Because both of you both kind of had a so assuming that you are not fans of this one.
I'll say there are things I like about it, but I do think that it suffered in the casting, and not even necessarily Eddie Murphy. I think it was most of the cast around him.
Okay.
Like, I was like, if you keep him and you keep Wallace Shawn, because Wallace Shawn can do, right, he can do no wrong ever. Like, I'm just going to put that out there. Like, he just makes me smile when he says anything. But I think that for me, I feel like Eddie Murphy had to overcompensate so much because so much of the other cast was just bland. Like, I thought the kids, the actors who they had doing the kids, I actually thought that they were fine too. But it was just, I felt like he had to kind of make up for other people just not being interesting to watch. And then it became a little too much Eddie Murphy. I feel like it's one of those, not great, but it's not terrible. I have other thoughts, but James, I don't know if you had things why it didn't connect with you, and then I'll get to what I did like about it.
There were things that I liked. Look, I watched this for the first time last week. It was one that I was putting off and putting off because I've heard how terrible it was. So I was like, nope, don't need to watch that. Don't need to watch that. I'll keep to myself and keep the memory of Haunted Mansion nice and pristine in my head. But when I finished the movie, I didn't think it was bad. I thought it was fairly good. But I do agree. I think that the casting was just not right for that. And I will go as far to say that I don't think Eddie Murphy was right for it. I think what the Haunted Mansion needed was something still kid friendly, but something with a little bit of a darker tone, like, you know, an Are You Afraid of the Dark type thing, or even the first Jumanji, how you had a lot of fun with Robin Williams' character, you know, being kind of over the top and all these animals and stuff, but it still had a little darkness to it. And I thought that the Haunted Mansion missed that darkness. It was a little too kiddie, but I thought, you know, for what it was fairly successful. And I liked all the nods from the attraction that they are able to fit into it. There was a lot of fan service, but it didn't feel like it was hitting us over the head with it. So I came out of it thinking that it was pretty good. It wasn't bad.
I agree with that. I think of all of the attraction movies, this is the one that has the most nods to the attraction, like from kind of replicating some of the show scenes. It takes place in Louisiana and the exterior of the building. You can kind of see where it's inspired by Disneyland's, which is in New Orleans Square. The storyline itself is very unrelated to, you know, the Haunted Mansion storyline that we know. I saw a comment that it somewhat follows the Phantom Manor storyline in Paris, but it's, you know, nothing to do with the bride. Like, none of that is in there. But there were a few, like, sets where I was looking, and I'm like, I can see exactly where you're pulling from, you know, from the attraction.
That wallpaper,
Yeah, like the music was in there a lot. It starts off with, you know, Welcome Foolish Mortals in that voice. So like there, if you are a very big Haunted Mansion fan, I definitely think it's worth watching because you'll get a kick just out of all the things you see that are familiar. And then Patty, did you pick up in your viewings that one of your favorite Disney things is in this movie?
No, what did
I know
miss?
About this? So you know the singing bus in the graveyard?
Yeah.
You know who that is?
Who is it?
That is the Dapper Dans.
Dapper Dans.
Stop it.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll have to go back and watch it. See, this is one of the ones I didn't rewatch because I had seen it so many times that I was in comparison. So now I'm going to have to go and Google that and see if I can find it.
And knowing that, like, you'll hear it. Like, knowing that, you'll be like, oh, yes, that is the Dapper Dans right there.
Oh, okay. Well, see, now I love it even more. So,
and then one of the singing busts, I believe it's inside. It might have been in the graveyard. Is also a Thurl Ravenscroft bust.
Yeah, I think it's in the same ones. They have it looking like him, and you'll recognize it because I think they even made the one in the attraction where they have them singing in the graveyard. Like they also gave it his face. It's the one that kind of looks like it might be look like Walt Disney, but it's not.
But it's not.
But so they put the same one. Like it's in the movie. So like I said, if you are a Haunted Mansion fan and you haven't watched this movie just because you've heard it's not great or you are it's a fun little movie. Yeah, I think you'll enjoy, like I said, all of the nods to Haunted Mansion that are in there.
I definitely have to agree with that. And I'm glad to hear that both of you didn't hate it because it just seems to have this, you know, negative connotation out there. And I'm like, what am I missing? I thought it was a fun movie. Like, it's fine. You know, it's not my favorite, but it's fine.
And I'm wondering if it came out a different year than Pirates, if it may have been slightly more successful in terms of, you know, people identifying the attraction movie. I was surprised to see they came out a few years, like they came out the same year, because I would have assumed Haunted Mansion came out a few years earlier and then they got it right with Pirates. But it was the same time frame, and it's interesting how far off they both hit with audiences.
All right. So what's the next movie we want to talk about?
I feel like we'll stay on the creepier side of things and go into Tower of Terror, because I talked about how there is a lot of fan service in Haunted Mansion, but the storyline was kind of different. This is a little bit the opposite. This one has, you know, it takes the storyline directly from the Tower of Terror story. And they also took it a step further. And almost the entire thing is filmed within Florida's Tower of Terror building. So they found a way to fully integrate the attraction into the movie, because you'll watch it and you'll be like, oh, I've been there. Oh, that looks really familiar. They did a great job recreating that set. They didn't. They just literally filmed inside the attraction.
Which, you know, it used to be a working studio, so it kind of is fun to see that and to think of it that they used what they already had as a showpiece, right? And they just went with it. So this one was something that was new to me. And this is, again, because look at the date that it came out, 1997. Patty was drinking and partying in the bars. She was not watching Disney Channel. And this one is the TV movie that came out as Wonderful World of Disney. So this was not on my radar. That being said, this falls in the cracks along with some of those other movies that you guys love so much of this age. You know which one I'm talking about.
I want to know which one.
Oh my gosh. Jason, do you want to tell him how much I hate that movie?
Wait, which one? Hold on. Wait, which movie do you hate that I love?
Hocus Pocus.
Oh, Hocus Pocus. Oh. Yeah, that's right. Yes.
I'm kind of on your side.
Oh, thank goodness. Okay, I just can't connect with it. I cannot connect with it. I can't get past like the first 20 minutes because I just think it's so dumb and it makes me ragey.
Oh,
it's
you like, too.
I do the Clue, you know, where she's like the flames coming out of the side of my head. Yeah. And it's mostly because all of y'all love it so much. And y'all, obviously, except for James. Everybody loves it so much that I really expected this to be a good movie, and it's not.
Y'all, I'm kind of full in the middle. I didn't grow up watching it over and over again, so I can say it's fine. It doesn't do it for me like the way that I see other people reacting to it.
And I refuse to admit that I like it because of nostalgia goggles. I refuse. It is a good movie. It's not because I watched it as a kid. It is a classic.
Nostalgia goggles. Let's talk about that. Because Tower of Terror, according to the internets, this is the movie. Like, this is the best one out of all of them. At least that was what I kept picking up, is that everybody said out of all these attraction movies, Tower of Terror is the best. Nobody understands like why we can't get our hands on it, why they don't show it every year. Cause this is also why I haven't seen it. It doesn't come out on, you know, like 31 Days of Freeform, or it doesn't come out on Disney Plus.
It's not on Disney Plus.
Disney Plus. You can't rent it off of Amazon. You have to actually buy it, which, because of the sacrifice that I make for this podcast, I went out and bought a DVD. I can't even tell you the last time I bought a DVD, but I bought a DVD so that I could watch this movie. Yeah. Because I was curious and I wanted to know if it lives up to the hype. So here's where you guys go. Does it? Does it, Patty?
Does it, Patty? Does it, Patty?
I really like this one. I will watch this one again. Yay. If this was on Disney Plus, I would watch it every year. If it was you know, something that they were running constantly in the month of October, I would watch it multiple times in October. Like, I don't, do we know why it's not available? Like, what the legal issue is with it not being available?
That is a good question, and I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you guys just happened to know, you know, Teresa always has this depth of knowledge back in there that she reaches into sometimes. So I didn't know if you happen to know why it is not a thing, because this is actually, it was an entertaining, it was a fun, it was scary enough. I was watching it with my 10-year-old, and she, I had to get up at one point to go to the bathroom. She was like, don't leave me. So she was spooked out just enough to, you know, have that there, but it was entertaining enough. It was, the acting was fine. It's a made for TV movie, obviously. So, you know, it's not like it's blockbuster material, but I enjoyed it and I would absolutely watch this again. And this is the one, for those wondering, with Kirsten Dunst and Steve Guttenberg in it. So
we'll see. And it also, for Office fans, it has Melora Hardin, who played Jan, like a very, very early, you know, earlier role for her. So it is fun to see her in there. I feel underwhelmed by this and I feel bad. Like, I wanted to like it. And I think approaching it as like a Disney Channel original movie, like it was part of Wonderful World of Disney. It's not a DCOM, but like approaching it as that, I appreciate it a little more. But I think I just wanted more from it than I got. I don't think it's bad. And like I said, and I appreciate the whole aspect of it being filmed in the attraction. That for me was kind of like my favorite part of it. But I think that the actual attraction story itself is so rich. And I just felt like they could have pushed the boundaries just slightly more than they did. I like I said, I just wanted more from it after I was done watching. I don't think it was bad, but it was just lacking to me.
I think that's fair, as far as like the story definitely could have been fleshed out, or a little, you know, we could have gotten a little more from it. I think that's a fair criticism of it. But I still thought it delivered much, it held up much stronger than I thought. And there wasn't anything massively problematic. Because again, this is from 1997 to here we are, 2021. You know, again, I was back in the bars in 97, and now I'm a mom of four, you know, here. And there wasn't anything that jumped out at me that I had massive concerns about, like, you know, that little kids should be watching this or not watching it. So I, you know, it was a pleasant surprise. And yeah, I liked it. What's your take on this one, James? What do you think?
Patty, she just doesn't understand
good. Oh, she doesn't get it. I know. Teresa's fired.
Doesn't understand good cinema. Look, Tower of Terror.
Take my ball and go home.
This was absolutely something that I watched back in 1997 on Disney at 8 o'clock on Sunday night, or whatever it ended up being. And I don't know why.
How old are you, or how old were you back then? If you want to give that age, I'm just kind of guessing how your age range.
I was a teenager. You know,
you were a teenager. Okay, yeah. Cool.
But it's something that they should absolutely show every year on Halloween. And this is what I was kind of wanting from the Haunted Mansion. Something that was a little bit darker. It still has the fun undertones, and you can have a lot of fun in the film. But the Haunted Mansion, where it was goofy a lot of times, Tower of Terror takes that down a lot. So you don't have a lot of those, you know, slapstick comedy moments. And I thought that's what Haunted Mansion really needed, and Tower of Terror does a good job. I wish Tower of Terror had a bigger budget and was shot more cinematically, where, you know, it definitely feels like it's a TV movie. It does. But sure, the story is so good and the acting is still good in it. And obviously, like Teresa said, you know, you love seeing all these visuals shot inside the attraction. It's fun. I love it. I watched it a lot growing up. And I was excited when I found a DVD copy of it. I found it two times, actually, just out and about, not even having to search it out on Amazon or on eBay, just in my wanderings. But I found a nice four-movie Disney Thrills collection that is all attraction rides. It's got Tower of Terror, Haunted Mansion, something we're going to be speaking about here in a minute, and also has a Mr. Toad's Wild Ride movie that I never knew existed. And it's got, like, Eric Idle and some of the Monty Python people in it. And I've yet to watch that, but I'm excited to do so at some point.
Teresa, you left it off the list.
It's not canon, I don't think.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But this is a Disney licensed four-pack DVD. It's got Disney movie rewards in it. So I don't know. Maybe it should count.
Maybe it should. We'll have to
have a bonus episode with that review. That's
right,
that one.
That's right. When you watch it, you'll have to come back and report on that one.
Yeah. And so before we get to the next movie, I do want to acknowledge James's comment about, you know, wishing it had a bigger budget, because about a month ago, a Hollywood Reporter put something out that Scarlett Johansson is apparently attached to produce a Tower of Terror movie. The script is being done by Josh Cooley, who is the director of Toy Story 4. And there's like no other information about it. That's about all they've said so far. And when movies are in development, especially when all they've said that someone's producing it, it may never go anywhere. So we might not hear about this ever again. But in theory, there is a Tower of Terror theatrical release that is in discussion and may happen. So it'll be interested to kind of like, if that ever does come out, like then go back and revisit this again and kind of see, you know, like I said, especially because I am somebody who felt like I wish there was more to it. If I am happy that people are revisiting it and can kind of do something else, or if I'm like, oh no, maybe it'll be, you know, it'll make me appreciate the original one that much more.
They better bring back Gutenberg and Dunster, I riot.
Right.
I would co-sign. I was going to say the same thing. I was like, I am totally on board with a reboot. Reboots are like the name of the game, right? This is what we do all the time now. But bigger budget, ScarJo in charge. I love this. But I am going to need somehow, Dunst and Gutenberg, they got to make at least an appearance. There's got to be something, right? They don't have to star in it, but they got to be in it.
I would think he would make a great bellhop.
Oh, it would be hilarious. Yeah. It would be hilarious.
So good.
So yeah. So I will be curious to see what they do with that. And I am looking forward to that. I think that would be a lot of fun and a good movie. But I agree with what James is saying. Like, I want it to still have some creep factor. I still want it to be dark, because that ride is creepy and dark. It is spooky. Mm-hmm. It is scary. And it's that was when I started watching this, that I was channeling my inner Teresa, because I was like, look, they're in the haunted. They got to be in the haunted mansion. Are they in the haunted mansion? So then I had to Google and see if they like actually filmed it in the haunted mansion, because I assumed they did, because why wouldn't you? But at the same time, who knows? Maybe they, you know, created a whole separate Hollywood studio. Well, I don't know what these people do in Hollywood. So, but yeah, I was so thrilled to see that, because then I was able to pick out and see the things that they were zeroing in on and that they were really focusing on. And I was also able to walk Lucy through it, because Lucy won't ride this ride, but she has gone through the queue and done the rider swap with us. Hmm. And and it was giving her anxiety. She was like, I know I'm not going on this ride, but it's so like the ride. And I was like, yay, they hit the right like level of stress, but not too stressed, because my kid was responding to it. So I was excited.
Do you think she'll have any different feelings about writing it after having seen the movie?
No, I think I think Lucy will be for a long time. She will not be a thrill seeker for a long time. And look, she comes by it honestly. I did not ride any.
I was going to say that was true of you also. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I didn't ride anything until I was like 38 years old and drunk. And then I started riding things. It took me a long time. And in fact, Tower of Terror, I only rode that for the first time, I think, either last summer or the summer before. I rode Guardians, but I didn't ride Tower. And so it's that there was a whole mental process that I went through, James, that like Guardians was easier for me to get on because you don't drop, you like go up first. And mm-hmm. so it didn't stress me out as much as being dropped. And then once I rode that and got a feel for the drops, I was like, oh, I can handle Tower of Terror. And so now I love Tower of Terror, but it took me a while to like work my way through.
And because it was Marvel. Let's get clear. That's the reason you wrote it.
Honest, they could have me.
That's exactly. They could have the biggest, and that's my thing. Teresa doesn't like IP in attractions. I love, for me, it's all about story. And sometimes the way to my chicken heart is through the story. Same thing with California Screamin'. I did not write that. until they threw Incredibles all over it and themed it with an incredible story. And then I adored it. I wasn't even nervous to get on it, which is like, what does that say about me mentally? I don't know. But there's something that I needed, that comfort of chasing Jack-Jack, you know, through this roller coaster to be comfortable to get on it. And yeah, and I love it now. So weird.
You just had to help him get his nom nom cookie. That's it.
I did. I'm a weirdo, but that's the way things roll here for me. Okay, so Tower of Terror, we got something to look forward to there. But people, if you don't have this one, I'll throw a link in show notes for you if you want to click on it and head over to Amazon and go ahead and purchase. I don't know why we don't get to watch this every December on Disney Plus or Disney Channel, but we don't. If somebody knows that, please tweet us and let us know, because we're curious and we would like to know if you know what the legal holdup is or whatever with this show. But it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Don't listen to Teresa; she doesn't know what she's talking about.
I didn't say it was bad. Like, it's worth it to watch just to see a movie filmed inside an attraction. Like, I think that it's worth it for that alone. But probably. It's not the one I'm least likely to revisit. The next one we're talking about is going to be the one I am never want to. I don't need to revisit this movie ever again.
I was about to throw some shade on you and say, you know, she probably likes Dinosaur the best, but apparently not. So let's talk about Dinosaur.
Oh, Dinosaur. Okay. So Dinosaur, this movie came out in 2000, and I know a lot of people might think that be confused about this being on the list. I know, Patty, you were surprised that this one was on the list. So Dinosaur is a little interesting. So this one, when they were developing Animal Kingdom and they decided to, you know, to put in the Dinoland area rather than doing Beastly Kingdom, Michael Eisner kind of had the thought that he wanted there to be synergy between Countdown to Extinction, which was the original name of this attraction, and within the film division by tying it into a movie that would come out in a few years. So he actually had, you know, the Imagineers and the film artists kind of working together in hopes that they'd each be able to like improve on what the other was doing. And there is a 15-minute long YouTube video that kind of goes into the history of it that is pretty interesting to watch. And we can share that in show notes also. But this was a movie I'd also put off watching. I watched this for the first time in the past week because I was just kind of curious, you know, how much does it actually tie into the attraction? And as I was watching it here, my review after the first 20 minutes was, I'm like, this is Tarzan with smaller primates and no Phil Collins is what I'm watching right now. Like, that's I'm not going to say it doesn't have good music, because the score for Dinosaur is fantastic. Like, I love the music, and they do have that in the theme park. And in terms of, like, you know, the ride when it opened as Countdown to Extinction is mostly the same as it is now. They did, like, the two main dinosaurs, the Iguanodon and the Carnotaurus, like, those are the dinosaurs in the movie. And there's the whole, like, you know, the meteor is, like, that's one of the antagonists in the movie and in the attraction. Like, I don't know. I love the ride. I think the ride is very fun. I wish it was lit a little better. And I know it was more intense as Countdown to Extinction, so I wish I'd gotten to ride it as that. But, like, the movie was just so dull. It was so boring and hard to get through. And I just don't need to watch that ever again. And I'm just kind of salty on it that literally the only reason it got made after is because they wanted to be able to sell more toys. Like, that was the whole reason that the movie got made based on this attraction. I can't with this movie. And I love dinosaurs, so it's crushed me on that front, too.
I agree.
This was my 3 a.m. choice of watch this morning, and it was not a good choice. After I started watching this movie, I was like, Teresa, don't make me watch Country Bears. I can't believe you're doing this to me. Because I thought, this is so bad, and you know how I feel about Country Bears. And I'm with you. I like Dinosaur. So I thought, what do I have waiting for me, right? This next movie that she's got on my list of things to watch. I did not care for this one either. I watched probably the first 25 minutes and then just kind of skipped through trying to see if I could pick up what was going on.
You cheater.
Yeah, I totally cheated on this one, James. Call me out. It's all good. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I won't do it. I'm not going back. If you are a big dinosaur movie lover, you can try to sell us on it, but I don't know. What do you think, James?
I love dinosaurs. I love movies. I don't like the dinosaur movie. It's not good. It's really not good.
I feel like what they needed to do with this one wasn't just the whole dinosaur part of it. Like, if they had done the movie based on the ride, like, which is kind of what we're talking about here, you know, not just based on the characters in the ride, it's not even based on the characters. Like, if they'd done a movie about the Dino Institute and, you know, having to go back in time to get this dinosaur and, like, that kind of race to getting the dinosaur, I think that movie would have been great. And I don't, if they were planning this from the beginning, like I said, that those stories, even when it was Countdown to Extinction, like, you had Felicia Rashad, you had, you know, the whole story was the same. So I'm like, plan it around that.
Yeah.
The movie would have been so much more interesting than, Land Before Time is fantastic. And this is a bad version of that.
I also don't like the way it's shot. Like, the animals are all computer generated, but the backgrounds are live action backgrounds, and computer generation was not where it needed to be for that to mesh well together at that point, or at least it may have been, but they didn't execute it well because those animals just stand out so bad. It looks like you're taking stickers and putting it on a photo, and it just takes me out of the movie. Not that I really wanted to be in it to begin with, but It's the best word to describe it. You already said it's just so dull. I haven't revisited it since I watched it like 4 years ago. I wasn't going to do it for this. I said no. So yeah, I guess I kind of cheated too, but I have seen the entire thing.
Well, okay. I'm glad that you gave a little background on that, because that was something I looked at when I was watching it. I was distracted by the backgrounds that were happening, and all I kept thinking of was, why is Lion King so good and this is so bad, but Lion King came first? Like, what are we doing here? What's the difference? Did they just not give them money? I mean, it always comes down to money and budget, but it was very distracting. I didn't care for that either. And which is also why I was just like, nope, I'm tapping out. I'm done. So yeah, 3 for 3. None of us like dinosaur. Moving on to the next one.
Oh, all right. So next we'll go up to, we're going to jump forward to the most recent one that has come out. And that's Tomorrowland, which I felt weird including this because I feel like it has nothing to do with Tomorrowland, but it, you know, I do love, I know this movie, I think people were underwhelmed by this movie too. I actually really, really like the movie. I think that it's, you know, connection to Tomorrowland, it doesn't really exist. It feels more like, when they're in that future part, it feels more like an idealized version of what Walt wanted Epcot to be. So that part I like. I do love the whole World's Fair aspect to it and kind of seeing, you know, small world. But like I said, I like the movie, but for me, it was hard. It's hard for me to think of this as like an attraction movie, even though it's like all around, in theory, a land, sort of.
Yeah, this is a little bit of a cheat, but I agree with you on your kind of summation for why I liked it as well. This is one of those movies that I think I've seen 1.5 times. I went and I saw it in the movie theater. I think I had a screener for this one. And then I watched it again. I forced my family to sit down and watch it. And I honestly was in it for that first section where there is the it's a small world and the connection to the World's Fair kind of feel. And I think Teresa, that's just our sappy Disney hearts and that connection to the time frame. We really like Disney back then. That was kind of a cool period for us to revisit. But I agree with you that I thought it was fun. It was interesting. I didn't get the hate that everybody was giving it when it came out. People were like, oh my gosh, it was a total bomb and it was terrible and blah, 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 blah. I didn't get that from this movie. At the same time, you know, no, not Oscar worthy. No, they didn't need to like win awards or whatever. But I didn't think it was bad. I thought George Clooney did a fine job with what he was working with. And again, the Disney attractionish aspect of it, I was with you kind of like leaning towards not so much what Tomorrowland was supposed to look like, but what Epcot was supposed to kind of look like. So
I'm in the same boat as the two of you. I really enjoyed the opening of the film and seeing everything from that time period. I just wanted more of that. But I didn't understand the hate for the movie. I thought it was pretty good. Brad Bird's a really talented filmmaker, so I knew anything that he really put his name on, it was going to be good. It wasn't going to be something that, you know, deserves all the denigration that people throw at it for whatever reason. I don't understand why it gets the hate it does. Maybe people wanted it to be something that it just didn't end up being. But I kind of wanted a little bit more of what it kind of started out being. I wanted to see more of that world, and I just wish we would have gotten some sort of an expansion there.
Yeah, and I think, I feel like it had a similar issue to what John Carter did a few years earlier, in yeah. that I feel like it just didn't get marketed well, and it wasn't, I think the people who did see it, it just wasn't, the way that it was marketed, it just wasn't the movie that they were expecting to see. So I think it was definitely like an expectations versus reality issue for some people, but I think that they just did not market the movies well for what they actually were. And it doesn't mean it was bad, but I think it just didn't get people excited to go see it beyond, you know, beyond those of us who are the hardcore Disney fans and getting to see what it would have been like to be at, you know, the 64 World's Fair, seeing these things. Like, obviously that's going to appeal to all of us from a theme park aspect. And like I said, if you do like the theme parks, it is worth it to watch for that, even if you aren't invested in the full story. But again, I think the movie itself is not bad. I think it was poorly marketed, and again, does not really have anything to do with Tomorrowland
at all.
Right. Well, so fun fact about this movie, I will always appreciate it, because I was talking to my mother-in-law about this movie after I had seen it. And she was like, oh, yeah, I think I've seen, you know, the trailers for that. She was like, yeah, it looks like the World's Fair. Did you know I went to that? I was like, what?
No
yeah. At this point, I've been married for over like 20 years. She knew how much I love Disney, but she never dropped this information on me. So she had this whole fabulous story about her family making this trip to the World's Fair and some of the things that happened, and like her dad tore his pants on the car in one of the cars at the Ford thing. And the Disney people like came out and gave him a whole new suit. Like, you know, it's just,
wow.
It was wild. It was a very fascinating story to hear about that time, but I was like, that's so cool. So from watching this movie, I got one of my like favorite personal, you know, Disney adjacent experiences, you know, from my mother-in-law. It was kind of fun.
Awesome.
So yeah, I think again, if we could, James says like, I don't know why people hate on this. Well, if we knew why people did anything, would there be a Diz Twitter? Let's just.
That's fair.
Because, you know, there's so many times where something comes up and I'm just like, oh, this is exhausting. But let me see what y'all have to say about this. And sometimes I like it. Sometimes I don't like it. Sometimes I agree. Sometimes I don't. It's always a good place to spend some time. So, all right. Are we doing this one, Jane? Are we doing this one, Teresa? Are we going to save it for very last?
I guess we'll save it for very last. There's one more movie that I don't think we're going to talk about much, because I don't know if anybody has seen this movie, and I know or even did the attraction it was based on. So in 2000, there was a movie called Mission to Mars, which I know when I mentioned it to James, and I don't know if you got confused about this too, Patty, is that so there actually was an attraction in Disneyland and the Magic Kingdom called Mission to Mars. So this is not based on Mission Space, even though you might think so. But so Mission to Mars, it was a movie in 2000. I never did this attraction or have seen this movie. So I don't, if either of you two have thoughts on it, I feel we can go over that quickly, but I feel like I don't, this attraction doesn't even get talked about. And I watched a brief video of it and I'm like, how did you make a movie out of this?
Yeah, no, I didn't ever go on this attraction. I think my first experience back at Disney parks after a very long absence, because my family went to Disneyland when we were very young. And then my parents didn't believe in Disney for years and years and years. And so it was when I got married, my husband and I went to Disney World for our honeymoon. And I think when we were there, it was 90, well, it would have been 95. And I believe that was, we were already in the alien encounter phase of things. At least at Magic Kingdom, that's the location where Mission to Mars was. They replaced it with the alien encounter. And at Disneyland, I think there's a pizza. I think that's the pizza restaurant is over right, there.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was long gone for me. So no, I never saw this attraction. But it looked like in pictures that I saw, like the basic setup, they kept that for Stitch and for the alien encounter thing. So.
Yeah. I don't know for sure that I've never done it, but I don't remember doing it. The only memories I have of that space is Alien Encounter. And then afterwards, the greatest attraction ever made, Stitch's Great Escape. But no, that's completely tongue in cheek. I'm a diehard Stitch fan, but that ride, no. I don't know whether I ever did Mission Space. If I did, it didn't register any memories. A Mission to Mars, not Mission Space. Nothing landed if I did do that. And it's so hard to find the movie now, too.
Yeah, I think that was part of why we didn't watch it, because I couldn't find the movie, and it's a Brian De Palma movie. I just don't like his movies.
Right, this is Brian De Palma, and mm-hmm. my thing with him is he likes like depressing endings, and I'm not about that life, especially if you're tying it to something Disney. I need happiness and closure, people. So I'm not sure that I would want to. I would have done it for the podcast if it was easy to get, but it was not, so we didn't, and so therefore. Y'all, it's out there. It exists. Go watch it if you want to. But this is one of these movies where even though it's not tied to a current attraction, but it kind of is, because what I read about it was that Gary Sinise's character is essentially the same character that we meet in mm-hmm. the current attraction, right? And so, like, what were they doing there? There was this crossover that was like, oh, will anybody notice? Maybe they won't. And I guess most people didn't, because they didn't even know this movie existed. I don't know.
Right. Well, and he's gone now from the last Mission Space update. I think they changed out for like the pre-show video. So I think Gary Sinise isn't even there anymore.
Then there you go. Yeah. So but there's that.
Anyway, so that was our brief Mission to Mars commentary. Sorry, that was like the least helpful part of this podcast. But so if you've seen it, let us know. And if you have thoughts about it compared to the attraction, let us know that too. But so now I'm so excited. We are going to talk about 2002's The Country Bears, which Patty just sent me a GIF. Like this morning I wake up, I see I have a tweet, and she's just like, we're talking about this.
So before we get there, Therese is a huge Country Bear stan, all right? Like, we had a whole photo shoot with her and the Country Bears the last time we were at Disney World together. James, what are your feelings on the Country Bear attraction?
I know it's probably blasphemous, but I am not a fan of the Country Bears.
Did we just become best friends?
I don't understand the love for it. I don't get it.
It's wonderful.
It was something that I never went to when I was a kid. I would walk right past it, over to Splash Mountain, ride that 15 times, walk back past it, and go over to Haunted Mansion. And no time did I ever walk through those doors.
What I'm realizing right now is I have dragged both of you on this attraction.
This is true.
James, exactly. No, that is literally me. I just walked past this. I didn't care that there was air conditioning in there. There could have been, you know, free booze in there. I wouldn't have gone. Like, I had zero interest. Well, let's not go that far. I had zero interest in this attraction completely whatsoever until I started talking more and more to Teresa and realized how important this attraction is to her and to her life. And therefore, yes, she roped me in one day, and we had our Country Bear experience, in which Patty sat there the entire time saying, WTF, what am I watching?
I'm pretty sure I actually saw you mouth that at some point, because I remember just like looking over and watching your reaction, and it was just, you're like, what am I doing here? I know James likes to compare it to
have you seen the Goofy movie?
Lester's Possum Park.
I'm Max that entire attraction length, just sitting there going, why are we here? Why are we doing this? And Teresa's the little girl with the pigtails and the braces clapping along.
Correct. Yeah, I'm with you, James. Completely co-sign with that again. I mean...
But that being said, I understand the history of it. I love the auto-animatronic characters. It's important, but it was not my favorite of those. If I want to see that type of technology and this type of characters, I will see them in a different attraction.
Yeah, I haven't gone back. I don't know that I will go back unless Teresa makes me go back. So you can imagine how excited I was that there was a Country Bears movie. I thought, oh gosh, all right, I need to quit this podcast because this girl is making me waste all this time on these crazy things. Country Bears, 2002. Teresa.
Yes.
I liked it.
Yes!
I like this movie more than I like the attraction. Far more than I like the attraction. I would watch this movie again, like in the background with my kids, but I will not go on that attraction again. I won't waste the time. It was surprisingly sweet and charming. The music was fun. Again, this was one of those that was chock full with a lot of cool voices and a lot of, special, drop-ins and such. And again, it's one of those movies where you're like, oh, I know that person from somewhere. He's in the thing that's in that thing that we watched the other day. You know what I mean? They're like, there's tons of character actors that you will recognize, even if you don't know their names, that this movie, and it's on Disney Plus, so it's free, was worth sitting up at 4 o'clock this morning and watching it. It was a good palate cleanser after Dinosaur. Now that's the other thing too, is like maybe after Dinosaur, anything would have been good. Who knows? But yeah, it was charming. It was kind of sweet and it was fun enough for what it is. You know, again, not an Oscar winner. I'm not throwing any awards over here at this one, but I was surprised by how much I enjoyed it.
Okay. So I turned this movie on and was waiting to just absolutely hate every second of it. I had things to do. I had my phone out, Twitter open to distract me. And Christopher Walken comes out and he's going to destroy Country Bear Hall. I related to him so much. I was Christopher Walken. I have never identified with the villain in a movie so much in my life. Screw those bears. We're going to smash this hall. At the end of the film, I didn't hate it either. I don't know what happened in my brain. I swear those animatronics that Jim Henson Creature Shop made, they hypnotize you while you're watching this to make you think it's a good movie, because I didn't hate it. I don't know what they did to me.
What sorcery? I don't know, but I'm with you. Or it's the power of Christopher Walken. Is it Walken? Is he what did this to us? Because I had that same reaction. I'm watching this going, wait, hold up. No one told me Christopher Walken was in this. I am invested.
It's not bad. I don't get it. I'm just so baffled by this movie. It everything about it should be terrible. The music's really good. I compared it to it's Paddington meets the Blues Brothers with a little bit of the Muppet movie in there. It's not as good as any of those three movies, but
no, it's but the good elements enough. Are there. No. Yes. No, you're that's exactly what this is. It has the sweetness of Paddington for sure. The kind of some of the fun of the Muppets. And then
getting the band back together.
Getting the band back together. The Blues. And they go on this epic road trip and Yeah, no, I was surprisingly down for it. Again, it could be the 3 hours of sleep that I was working on. I don't know, but I'm going to trust that James was a little bit more prepared than I was to watch this. And we're coming to the same conclusion. So I like this. I like this. Yeah, Teresa, I thought she is not going to believe this. She is going to be over the moon excited when I tell her that I will watch this movie again. I still may not go into the attraction, but I enjoyed the movie enough that I would absolutely sit down and turn it back on again.
I'm like making heart hands at both of you. I'm very happy about this. I think I love the attraction, and it has, aside from, you know, the characters, like most of the bears that are in the Country Bear Jamboree, like they appear or are mentioned. Obviously the voices are completely different, but none of the songs are there, which I'm assuming was a rights issue. So the soundtrack is completely different than the songs that you would hear in the show, which I'm assuming is why both of you liked it. But it does have, you know, there's John Hiatt, Bonnie Raitt, like Brian Setzer is in there and has a cameo and performs a song. Don Henley. So he said, so the music is very good. The sound songs that are not the bear singing, just like the rest of the soundtrack, it's all very, very good. I feel like Big Al, you know, after Christopher Walken, Big Al steals the show, like as he does in Country Bear Jamboree. There's a scene like earlier on in the movie that, I don't know, it was just like one line after another, and I just was cracking up for several minutes. Like every time I watch it, it's so wonderful. I kind of wish, this is going to be like the strangest thing to say, but if you know me, you'll understand. I wish the movie was slightly worse, just so it could hit the edge of being like so bad it's good. Like I wish it was like pushed that boundary a little more, because I think it would have gotten the cult following that it deserves. But like I said, it's an enjoyable movie. I don't understand why, like, broadly people hate the movie. Like I said, it's not gonna win any Oscars. It's, you know, I but it's not a bad movie. I enjoy this a lot. I am very happy that both of you did as well.
Look, yeah, I would like the attraction a lot more if they took the songs from this movie and put them in the attraction.
Agreed. I think the songs, and who knows, maybe that's what we were doing, James. We were comparing the attraction to the movie and being like, whoa, this is way better. And that's why we liked it as much as we did. But yeah, Teresa, you got a winner in the Country Bears. You won two of us over.
That's all I'm asking for.
All right. Well, those are all of the movies as of this time that are officially attractions that came first, and then movies created based on attractions after. And, you know, you win some, you lose some, right?
Yeah, I think I feel like going into this project, when we decided to, you know, re-watch them for the first time or re-watch them, you know, I'm hoping that if people go back and watch these later, they find a few that they enjoy that they maybe previously didn't consider, just because they'd either heard bad things about it or it just was not on their radar. And I think, you know, it's exciting that we are getting another attraction-based movie that, you know, an original Disney attraction. I feel like there's a few things in development, but I feel like it's going to be harder and harder to get these kinds of movies just because so much stuff that's going into the Disney parks right now. Here's my rant. So much stuff that's going into the Disney parks right now is IP-based. So we're losing the opportunity to kind of have these movies based on attractions that did not have any kind of character or IP that preceded it. So I'm glad that, you know, we're still going to get a few more. There is a Matterhorn Bobsleds movie in theory in development. And there is something coming to Disney Plus they're calling it like the Magic Kingdom TV universe. And they're starting it off with the Society of Explorers and Adventurers, so SEA, which there's throughout the theme parks. I think this really started when they kind of were developing Tokyo Disney in some of the areas there, but they have brought it to the U.S. parks and kind of worked it into some of the backstory of attractions. So like the Adventurers Club kind of works into it. Harrison Hightower over at Tokyo Disney is kind of their figurehead for their Tower of Terror. Henry Mystic over at Mystic Manor. I did hear that they just reopened Jungle Cruise, and I did hear that they added some SEA stuff into the queue And I know it's within like Skipper Canteen, there's a lot of it. So they're starting, they're going to be doing a series about this. And supposedly that's going to be like the first of many Disney parks kind of connected, I guess, TV series or movies that Disney Plus is doing. So I'm excited to kind of see what happens there and hoping that maybe it encourages them to come up with original stories for the theme parks, because not everything has to be based around a character that exists in a movie already. Hint, 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 things that I want. Not everything has to have Disney characters in it. But this is my end of the episode rant that everybody's already tuned out because they've heard me say it a bunch of times. So I stick it in at the end when like they know where she's going with this.
Well, you know, I have to agree with you. Obviously, the movies can't be made if the movies came first, right? And then the attraction afterwards. So, there's definitely a finite, you know, number of these things. Unfortunately, with the trajectory things are going on right now, I can't say that they're going to add new stuff that doesn't have, you know, look, think about Batuu. Compare it to Avengers Campus. I know, in theory, Batuu shouldn't have anything to do with this conversation, right? I get that. But because it is Star Wars first. But it's not, because they created that entire backstory and that whole existence for this theme park land. So while it counts, it doesn't count. Do you agree?
I think it kind of fits in a little bit with the dinosaur situation. And I feel I'm like, given what I said, the comments I made about dinosaur, I feel like that sounds really bad. But based on, I agree with you in that, you know, they kind of created this land that, you know, it exists within that universe, but it's not based on the stories that already existed in that universe. And they are, like, as they developed it, they kind of created stories with the characters that they're introducing there, creating stories kind of around the two. So it's, they kind of did that joint work with developing a land and kind of developing the atmosphere and the characters that show up there, and then creating stories around them simultaneously.
But it also has a real big Millennium Falcon right in the middle of it.
Correct. Right. Yes.
Yes. And you know, it's kind of a problematic for them at Disney theme park standpoint in that, like, you know, even like the biggest hit right now that's out for Disney from the Star Wars perspective, The Mandalorian. They got Baby Yoda over there, but really, does he belong in Batuu? No, he does not, right? So I think that's one of the problems, though, is that when they're trying to be creative and come up with, maybe it's just the Star Wars. Maybe if they had come up with something totally different over there, we would be having a different discussion, and it might be something that they could have done. But I just am not having a lot of faith right now in, sorry, Imagineers, but maybe it's not you guys. Maybe it's higher ups that are quashing all of your brilliance and whatever. It's probably the case.
Some theme park villains.
You know those villains. You know who they are. Bobs. So that definitely could be what's going on here. So I don't know. I'm just not optimistic for the future, because then I look over at what the MCU is doing, and I know I'm like the biggest, dumbest MCU fangirl. And so when I look at MCU and what they've done, and then what they've transitioned with Avengers Campus thus far, and the potential for what they can do over there, that just seems to fit more for what the current audience is looking for. And so I just don't know. I don't know what they're going to do or what the future holds with, you know, non-IP related stuff. It's got to be something good. It's got to be something, you know, epic, like Jungle Cruise, right? Where is that? Where's this generation's Jungle Cruise? I'd like to see it. I just don't know that we're going to get it.
Mm-hmm. Right. I don't think we're going to get it in the U.S. parks. I feel like that should be, I think it's more likely to see something like that going into one of the Asian theme parks, just because they seem to have, I feel like they don't seem to have to fit the same mold that we do over here. And so I think that if we do get some original attractions, I feel just my sense is that we're more likely to see it somewhere internationally than in the US, because like you said, that's just not the direction that they have made clear that they want to head. They want characters in and on everything. So that's what we have for the time being. And
it's a whole
maybe
new world.
Oh gosh. Oh. Oh, you just hurt my heart.
I know. Sorry. All right. Well, definitely, if you guys have thoughts about this or if you have some topics or suggestions for the future, come join us in the Facebook group, No Guilt Disney, on Facebook, obviously. And you can also email us at noguiltdisneypod@gmail.com.
And we want to say thanks again for James for joining us. Do you want to plug where people can find you, since we did not have you do that at the beginning?
Yeah, you guys can find me on Twitter at Gator24. It's G, the number 4, T-O-R 24. And also on Letterboxd, where you'll find me rating and reviewing movies as I watch them many, many, many a week. Same username over there, G4TOR24. And I also have an Instagram that I never use, but I can be found at that same user address.
Yes. Awesome. And then, like I said, and you can also find him competing on the Movie Trivia Schmodown, where we've heard him talk a little bit about movies here, and he knows a lot. He knows a lot about movies. So go check out his matches over there.
Yeah, and that's on YouTube at the Movie Trivia Schmodown.
Yes. And make sure you join us each week on the No Guilt Disney podcast, because as Patty likes to say,
it's no fun to fangirl the Country Bears.
Yes! Best outro ever.
Bye, y'all.